Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, January 7th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 27, paragraph 5, which begins with, "Upon hearing this." That is in the chapter, "There is a solution for we compulsive overeaters." Yay! Today's readers are Brandy M. for the 12 steps, Audrey M. P. for the 12 traditions, Wendy B., Lorraine N., Matt J. F. We'll greet our newcomers and get some numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting, and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that would be for Wednesday, January 6th, is 16139. That's 16,139. And the reference number for Thursday's, this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for January 7th, is 16149. That's 16,149. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Brandy M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater, food addict in Alberta, Canada. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. And I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Team Thursday, and Happy New Year. This is Audrey M.P. I'm from California, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. These are the 12 traditions. Now, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group might never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 27, reading paragraph 5 and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I will ask Wendy B. to please read and comment for us.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B. I'm recovered in Arizona. Upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that, after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And, so I was very religious, you know, but it was more like the self-righteousness of following the rules. You know, and in the previous paragraph, it describes what a spiritual experience looks like. Huge emotional displacement and rearrangements of ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. And, that transformation wasn't my experience when I was just a good churchgoer. You know, it took coming into this program for me to see what being in a close relationship with God really looked like. You know, in looking back, it was because I had too many idols in my life, you know, that I was unwilling to give up, you know, sugar being one of them. And my religion was all about looking good on the outside, so I wouldn't be targeted and blamed, you know, so I wouldn't be labeled bad. You know, I wanted to be better than those around me so they would be bad, not me, you know, so I could label them as wrong. And, I needed to be the favorite. You know, I needed to be the good girl, you know. And so this new attitude that I'm embracing is humility, to be just one of the pack, you know, just another grain of sand on the beach, you know, no better, no worse. You know, that we're all in the same, on the same level of just being humans. And this huge emotional displacement is still happening in me. You know, it feels progressive, you know, like I'm still in the process of letting go of false dependencies. You know, I recognized recently when my daughter needed to back off and set limits on her exposure to me, that I had been basing my sense of security on my relationship with her. You know, if my relationship with her was good, then I was okay. You know, I was good. So, you know, God is still pruning me and rearranging my priorities. You know, he wants to be first. You know, if I seek him first, he will take care of everything else, and it will all fall into its proper place of being in subjection to his lordship. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. Off to a great start here. So who, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Evan R.
Evan
Roz
R.
G.
Roz
Bruce
E.
Bruce E.
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N. Anybody else?
Karen
that
T.
Was Karen T. Okay, we have room for one more. If anybody else has a burning desire.
Robin P.
Robin P. All right. Well, that was just so smooth and amazing. Yay, thank you. Okay, we have Evan R., Roz G., Bruce E., Lorraine N., Karen T., and Robin P. How delightful. Evan R., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Hi, Evan R. here, recovering compulsive reader out of Southern California. I'm grateful to be able to share. I think the first share was really good. I relate a lot to that. I think in terms of my program, I'm learning that no one's program is better than anybody else's programs. And, you know, I've heard the saying, like, you know, trying to be in the middle of the pack, and, you know, staying safe in that way. And if I put myself above others or put myself below others, I find that my program, I guess it just becomes uneasy. And then that's sort of me looking at myself and using my ego to essentially draw upon my higher power as if, you know, it's a comparison between how much my higher power is related in my life to other people, which really doesn't make any sense. And, you know, this part of the book and this whole story, me and my sponsor really went into this part. And essentially the takeaway was, like, you can, for me at least, I can, you know, understand myself as much as I want and have as all the knowledge in the world, which I do like to have, but essentially if I don't feel that part of my mind or my body or my soul that needs my higher power, I will essentially go back into my addictions, which had been my story for a while, because I've been in program almost 6 years, and this is coming up my first year of complete abstinence. But I find, too, that the way that I get out of, or the way that I seek out that self-knowledge ends up being sort of either my ego, like putting myself above or below others, or, and I heard this a while ago, but not on this one, being addicted to ease and comfort, where it's like, wow, I'm in an uncomfortable situation. Let me seek out something that will make this easy for me. And I'm trying to, instead of seek out what's easy, seek out what's right. And it almost always is going to my higher power and having like a moment of prayer to get through that time, and then ask for, you know, essentially pause for the right decision and ask. So thank you, everybody. That's it. Bye.
Thank you very much, Evan R. Roz G., you're up next, and you're followed by Bruce E.
Okay, I'm just unmuting now. Thank you, Elaine. And I'm out hanging out with my dog playing fetch, so you may hear him playing in the background, so you know that's me with the background noise. And I'd like to talk about my religious convictions, like, you know, like as this paragraph lends to it. I belonged to a independent fundamental Baptist, Three to Thrive, morning, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, children in the Christian school, church member. And my disease was practiced the most in that atmosphere. I would have breakfast Tuesday morning, I would have my own breakfast, and then I would go to Tuesday morning Bible study and have a second breakfast with them. and then always filled with sugar-laden treats or tricks, not treats. And then we would have ladies' retreats where the food was the main major thing. And whenever we had a Bible class before church, we would have a donut table, and everybody was known for bringing donuts. And I would have, of course, my donuts after I had had my breakfast in the morning. And if I could get another donut, I'd have another one. And that was the and then I would pray that all of that eating would go away, you know, that God would bless the eating and that I would be okay. And that those were the, you know, some of the worst, those were when I gained the most weight. Claiming to be a woman of spirituality while treating my body like trash. And for me, the scriptures say that I'm supposed to treat my body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, for that's my reasonable service. And the big book says that, you know, my primary purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. And if I'm putting trash in my body, I'm certainly not able to be of maximum service to God. So what I want to say is that I don't belong to that church anymore. I still have a church that I belong to, and I still have my religion, and I still have my convictions. But I really did need this big book to teach me, to tell me the truth about my disease, that I am powerless over compulsive overeating, and that there are some ingredients that my body just can't receive with gladness. You know, my body doesn't, and my mind don't receive these. I have an obsession of the mind and the power of the phenomenon of craving, a vicious cycle that needed to be broken by entire abstinence from those things. And after, you know, being in OA for many years, 2 years ago, well, not quite 2 years, it'll be in July. July, it'll be 2 years that I've abstained. I've been through several relapses. I pray I don't have to go through another relapse. But as long as I keep attending these meetings and that I sit in prayer and meditation every single day and that I work with another person just about every single day, and I make this program a top priority in my life, I don't have to go through that again. And I can still practice my religious convictions as well, thanks to the way this program has worked, that everybody's welcome. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Perfect timing. Okay, Brucey, you are up next, followed by Lorraine N. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, Bruce E. I'm in Florida. I'm recovered, and by the grace of God. So, been on a pretty extensive trip here for 6 weeks, so I'm back. Our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that, after all, he was a good church member. So you can just, I can just kind of hear or imagine Roland Hazard here. He gets inflated because he hears this doctor say, talk about spiritual stuff. And he's just going, oh, okay, man, I got this thing then. And then in the same moment or two, the doctor says, hey, your religious convictions are really good, but in this case, okay, in this case, they don't spell the necessary spiritual experience. In other words, you ain't going to get what you got to get here from your church going, your church convictions, your church attendance, all of that. You're not going to get it from that. And he might have even known that, you know, because he probably tried that, you know, praying at church and everything and thinking that'd work. And then it didn't. And that's what I did. I mean, I was very active in church and in ministry and prayed a lot. God, take this food away. God, help me with this meal. Help me not to overeat today. And then I just go right on overeating, you know, and active in church and everything, and then just go right on overeating. And then finally just sort of giving up hope and God will work in all the other areas of my life, but he's not going to work in this one, you know, thinking that. So he goes on to find out, because he gets in the action group and goes through some steps, that this is what really works. What worked for me was this. Got in division, got a sponsor, started going through the steps, working through the steps, reading the big book. And that started relieving the compulsion and the obsession. And continued to do that. So that's what relieves it for me, or that's what relieved it for me, was doing these steps with a sponsor. And it just seems to lift it, help me to be neutral with food. My church attendance is still good. I still do that. Still active in church and everything. That's very helpful, and I help people there. But I
gentle
need this
reminder.
Program here. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Lorraine N., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Karen T. Please go ahead, Lorraine.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Redmond, Oregon. So grateful to be here this morning. While his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I was raised in Catholicism from day one, right straight through. Catholic schools all the way, religion every morning, first class, mass every Sunday, confession on Saturday. And none of it did anything but make me rebel against the God that they were teaching me, who was this fearful God that was always looking out for me to do something wrong, bad, dirty, you know. So even at 6 years old, I, honest to God, I knew if there was a God, he couldn't possibly be that. So anyway, getting back to my problem here, I did not know that I had a spiritual malady. And this chapter tells me there's a spiritual solution. And once I got that part, that I had a spiritual problem, I didn't have a food problem or all of that. That was how it manifested. So I went through the motions. I got a sponsor. I was not feeling in touch with God, but I got a sponsor in this program February 9th. It's been almost a year. And I just started working the steps. And I used to hear this saying a lot, act as if. I just started acting as if. No feeling. In fact, if I had any feeling, I was still pissed off at any kind of God. And something magical happened while she and I read that book together. And I don't know how to explain that. It's experiential. You just have to commit to doing it. And I was desperate enough at 68 years old, crying in my bed once again with food all over me, eating blood and tears along with the food. I've heard Harlan say, is this the hill you want to die on? And my answer was no, dear God, help me. So all this year I'm claiming abstinence, and I did have a form of abstinence, and I realized I was white-knuckling it until about a week ago, when I had a tremendous intense experience in meditation, and I immediately called someone in this program to make sure I wasn't completely nuts. And when I finished relating the experience, she said, congratulations, you just took step one. So I'm just a beginner. I feel like I should call and identify myself as a newcomer. This is my path. I will be constantly releasing old ideas for the rest of my life. I mean, my God, I had the other ones for 68 years. So, you know, I don't have any time to waste here. And I'm just so glad God found my way here to you beautiful people. The shares on this line are what sold me the first time I listened. It was phenomenal, and it continues to blow me away. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine Ann. Karen T., you are up next, followed by Robin P. Please go ahead, Karen.
Hello. Hello, this is Karen T., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you, Elaine, so much, and all of Team Thursday. Greatly appreciate it. I came into Overeaters Anonymous through my church. There were some other members of my church who were losing weight and had a glow about them, including my roommate, and they had what I wanted. And but church wasn't working for me, just like for Roland. I really needed to hear that it's my selfishness and self-centeredness. That's what I really needed to hear about. And that I have to clear away all of that, especially my resentments, that form of my selfishness, so that I could have this vital spiritual experience. And I am so grateful to Overeaters Anonymous. It turns out that I'm an extrovert, which I always knew, but just doing it in a community, my church was a nice community, but this community around people who are uniquely able to understand my struggles with food, that has been indispensable. And I'm just hoping that people find that sense of community and belonging on the phone meetings and on the Zoom meetings and somehow during this pandemic. And I think people are. I know of a couple newcomers that have come in without face-to-face meetings, and amazing, it can work. And the big book talks about when they had no meetings and how it could work just from getting the big book, right? The big book is a set of instructions, and it tells you how to create the fellowship you crave. So thank you very much, Elaine, and everyone else. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen T. And we definitely do want to welcome newcomers. You're welcome to share today if you like. We're going to have Robin P. up next, and then we're going to take another line up to comment on page 27, paragraph 5, which begins with, upon hearing this. Please share with us, Robin.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, I came in a devout atheist, and I saw God on the walls, and I left. And it took a while for people to say, just any power greater than your disease, than your addiction. And this was my bridge to God, and I had the profound variety kind of spiritual awakening with a voice that led me to God as I understand God today. And I'm very blessed and grateful. You know, I came in to stop eating, and I found God. And it's the necessary, vital, spiritual experience, you know, and that's in all my affairs, you know, praying only for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. It's been I've gone through excruciating things without God. I don't even know how I would get through them. And I don't know. And the only way that I can is by surrendering all and working my program on them and working the steps on anything that feels like it's a problem, living in 10, 11, and 12, and sometimes literally going through 1 through 12 through something else that I'm struggling with in, you know, business or, you know, 5G sensitivity. I can work my recovery and have a vital spiritual experience in every area of my life, and so that nothing's gnawing at my soul. It's imperative for my recovery, and I get to do it repeatedly. You know, I'm an inventor, and the manufacturer, I'm having problems with them being back ordered again, and it's just thing after thing where I want to judge them, being credulous, you know, and I just get to keep surrendering and working my recovery and having a vital spiritual experience every day and surrendering all. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared since Monday, you'd be most welcome to comment on this paragraph. Who'd like to share today?
Melanie C.
Rhonda L.
I heard Melanie C. and Rhonda L. and a few other people, but I didn't get their names.
Lisa R.B., Florida.
Lisa R.B.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. We have Diane. Room for about Diane.
Diane N.
Diane
Georgia.
N. Great. And we have room for one more.
Georgie.
George E. All righty. So we've got Melanie C., Rhonda R., Lisa R.B., Jordan L., Diane N., and George, oh, didn't get your last initial, so down in time. So you can refresh that when it's your turn. So Melanie C., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Rhonda R.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Glad to be here this morning with you. And I'm telling you, you may be like me, I don't know, but upon hearing these words, I was not somewhat relieved because I had various kinds of sundry relationships with I guess it would be religions or something like that, certainly hoping for that hole in my soul to be filled up and figuring out all kinds of ways in which to do that. And religion wasn't the only way, and it was just not working. It wasn't working. And so when I came in here and saw this, my heart just sunk, quite frankly. And I thought, I can't get this. I tried that avenue. I tried all kinds of ways, you know, to the extreme, of course, as you might imagine. And I had no faith in that whatsoever. Matter of fact, I came into the rooms and declared myself agnostic at first. And then I thought atheist would be a good way in which for me to think about things. And so I remember a couple, 4 or 5 years back, announcing on the lines that that I was atheist and I was going to try a different way of doing things. And so what that tells me with this particular experience, in order to have the vital spiritual experience that has happened to me because of this process, it definitely was a process. I was working through all those experiences before to bring me to what I needed to have, which was on my knees begging for help from myself when I came into these rooms with my tail between my legs, and finally being able to be so sick of hearing myself that I was willing to follow exactly what somebody else did, contrary to what was burning inside me, thinking that it wasn't right. I just found that I did it. I think that's the miracle of this particular transformative journey. And then through that particular time came in with my higher power, says, you're going to come in with all that stuff, Melanie, that you had, you know, out there, and we're going to work it through. And so, of course, it was going to look pretty awful. It was going to be really rebellious. I didn't get to go through that chance in that time. It was going to go through a restoration. I was going to be able to see little teeny bits of light and things that were changing in me that I know that I couldn't have done, and how to explain that. Where would that possibly come from? And over this time, it has truly enriched my heart and my soul and continues to deepen so many lovely things that I still find it very jaw-droppingly awesome that I still can't explain, except to tell you that there is a higher power, a God that I understand deep inside my heart, that I've been able to concede to my innermost self, that really is transforming me. And I press into that God every day, finding my way, and I pass.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Melanie C. Rhonda L., you're up next, and you're followed by Lisa R.B.
My name is Rhonda L., and I'm a newcomer. I just came in on Monday, and I immediately got a sponsor, and I'm now working on my food plan and getting me clean from the food. And so I guess that means I'm on step zero. But anyway, I'm just really happy to be here. And I really think everybody has been so kind and wonderful. And as far as the paragraph goes that we're studying, I was always taught that that my body was a temple of God. And I haven't been treating my body that way at all. And I hope now I can get on the right course and start turning that around. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda L. So glad you're here, and it's a great place to find support as a compulsive overeater. Welcome, and welcome to all our newcomers. Lisa R.B., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Please let us know where you're calling from. Lisa R.B., star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. This is Lisa R.B. from Crystal River, Florida, and I wanted to just thank my higher power and all of the members on the line. I am, by the grace of God, have 2 days abstinence today, and pertaining to the paragraph, I do have a religious spiritual practice weekly, and I'm grateful for that. However, it's really been in these rooms and listening to the experience, strength, and hope from other members, and the time that has been given to me in various hours that people from this group have given me to help me to get on my path, that I have finally been able to surrender and put the food down and get entirely abstinent, like the doctor said to do, in the doctor's opinion. And I'm committing my food, and I'm just very, very grateful that, you know, in the book it says faith without works is dead. And I know that God has heard all my prayers all along, but he also gave me this practical program of action and the clear-cut directions as outlined in the big book to be able to have that abundant life that he promises through having a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. I'm very grateful this morning. I just wanted to express my gratitude and participate in my recovery by speaking on the line this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa R.B. Appreciate that. Jordan L., you're up next, followed by Diane N. Please go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado this morning. we call it Sunny Gunny. anyway, I'm very grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you guys. so the only religious convictions that I had when I got here was that religion was a bunch of BS, and all of the religious people that I had ever known were hypocrites and liars and full of it, you know? so with those convictions, when I heard about God, I shut down automatically. It was like immediately closed, which is funny. It's really funny, actually, that I ended up with the sponsor that I have today, and that she's the one that took me through the steps, because I got to say, she's all about God. I thought she was a little bit cuckoo when I started working with her. I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. And she knows that. We've had this conversation, her and I. But it worked, you know. as far as this necessary, vital, spiritual experience goes, religion's got nothing to do with it. And to be quite frank, like, your God's got nothing to do with it, right? This is about my own conception. and as far as the vital part, I think the vital part of it is the transformative nature of it. That it's not about me claiming my beliefs so much as me demonstrating them. Like living them on a daily basis, living the way that I claim, you know, showing that, acting that out. Action is the key word in all of this, right? and I want to point out that there's an asterisk down at the bottom of the page that tells you to go to the spiritual experience appendix. It says it three times in this chapter, or twice in this chapter, once in the next chapter. It's important to understand that we're not talking about religion here, that we are talking about a spiritual experience. and in that appendix, the way it describes it is the newcomer realizing that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. That is what I have found. I've been abstinent for over 3 years now. There's no way I could have accomplished that on my own power alone.
Gentle reminder.
So I think this fellowship, each and every one of you, and my own conception of a higher power, because that's where the credit is due. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Diane, and you are up next, and you're followed by George. I think it's E, but I'm guessing. Diane, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My name is Diane N. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater from Metro Atlanta, Georgia, and I am so grateful to be on the line today for this opportunity to, and for everything I've heard and for the shares and for your service. This is so, it's just so resonating with me that what we've talked about today, because I was one of those people that was such a good religious person. When I came into the room, I've been in the rooms for years, and I thought, hey, this is going to be easy for me because they talked about a higher power, and I know my higher power is God, and he is awesome, and he is great. And I just gave him my life. I gave him, I said, this is going to be easy for me because I've got God on my side. That's my higher power. But it turned out that I had such a difficult time when I came into the rooms. I was so torn because I thought, God is awesome, and God has so many big things to do. He has made, he has world to save the world, and my little eating problem is something I should be able to do. I should be able to handle that because it's just a small thing, you know, food. I should be able to handle that. And I would go to things at my church. We would have, everything would be food-centered. You know, after church, we go out to eat. We always had lots of occasions to eat. We would have health fairs. And after the health fairs, we'd eat. And we would eat the stuff that's not, back then, eat things that wasn't good and wholesome for us. The good, we would have the good stuff. Or even if they had the other stuff that's not so healthy, you know, a lot of people would be drawn to the things that we really like or that I really liked. And, of course, they're changing that attitude now in at my church. And they know even if we have a health fair, they have really, really healthy things for people to select. But as far as this program is concerned, I had to have just a change of mind, a spiritual awakening, and understand that my higher power, and it took me a long time to come to terms with it, he is concerned about every facet of my life, which included food. It turns out he cares about what I'm eating because that's the God of my, that's my God. That's what he's concerned about. And eventually I got to the place to where I was able to just turn that food and everything over to him. I realized that it's a difference between religion and then this program. But it kind of, my higher power just helped me to come to the realization that even with the food, he cared and he wanted me to be abstinent, and he took control of even that. Today he got, my higher power guides me with my food. He guides me with this program. Throughout this pandemic, I have been abstinent. Throughout, my abstinence, I've been abstinent for over a year now. I don't think it has anything to do with me. I keep saying that because to me it's just so miraculous because I've been trying to do this for years. But once
Gentle
I worked, thank you so much. Once I worked the steps, live in steps 10, 11, and 12, pray and turn everything over to him. He did it. To me, it seems so difficult before, but it's simple. Thank you for letting I simply followed his directions and trust him. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Diane, and from Georgia. So George, I believe it's George E., is up next, and I think we may have time for one short share after that. Hi, George. Please,
yes,
go ahead.
George E. from Recovering Compulsive Eater, Ohio. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Well, this was the part of the book that always mystified me because, you know, I didn't have a clue what spirituality is or meant, or I wasn't angry about religion. I just didn't see its relevancy. And I can imagine, you know, Bill and Roland sitting around another kitchen table at another time talking about all this. And, you know, so when I read his secondhand description on what went on, I mean, for me, the awakening was of an educational variety, and by that I mean, you know, when I saw this letter in 1961 from Bill to Dr. Young, but more importantly, Dr. Young's reply to Bill about, you know, what really happened, and it was shortly before Carl Jung died, and so I'd like to spend a minute just kind of quoting from that letter. It's probably on silkworth.net, but I'm reading from Pass It On, page 384. And he says, I'm convinced that the evil principle prevailing in this world leads to the unrecognized spiritual need into perdition. If it is not counteracted either by real religious insight or by a protective wall of a human community, an ordinary man not protected by an action from above and isolated in society cannot resist the power of evil, which is called very aptly the devil. But the use of such words arouses so many mistakes that one can only keep aloof from them as much as possible. These are the reasons I could not give a full and sufficient explanation to Roland, but I'm risking it with you, Bill Wilson. Because I conclude you are a decent and honest letter, that you have acquired a point of view about misleading platitudes. And I'll skip the next little bit, but he closes with, you know, thank you again for your kind letter and remain yours, Carl Jung. And then there's an asterisk here. As the heart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's from Psalms. But, you know, and regardless of how you feel about religion, you know, I mean, I'm a human being trying to have a spiritual experience, not a religious experience. You know, religion is about, to me, it's about philosophy and socialization. You know, it's not about faith. And so let me, I know I've talked too long, but let me close with this
just
one.
Just a reminder. Thank you.
I read this letter Sunday morning. Bill wrote it to a guy out here in Ohio named Clarence, and he declares really succinctly that faith without works is dead, but more importantly, works without faith is also dead. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, George. I misestimated and thought that we would have time for another brief share, but we just have 1 minute, and I'd like to save that for newcomers to leave their numbers or get the numbers of available sponsors. So thank you, everyone who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read A Vision for You?
I am delighted to. Again, Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Redmond, Oregon. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm on the spiritual experience. Hang on.
Page 164.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.